Welcome to episode 161 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Jungle Girl by Doug Murray and Frank Cho. And now, the cast begins.
So I just realized that in our notes, and like in our kind of like brainstorming notes of like what we want to maybe do upcoming, we have Cheesecake in there still, and it lists three comics that we did not just read for the Cheesecake series. It lists Deja Thoris, Red Sonja, and Vampirella. And we just did a Cheesecake series and it included none of those three. I don't know how this happened.
We should just do it. We should make this a Cheesecake podcast and only read Cheesecake at all times.
I am actually more down for that than you would think after this week. So long as it's not more Witchblade, I'm kind of... Even Tarot, as bad as Tarot was, it was kind of fun reading.
It was going somewhere, you could tell.
Yeah. It was a thing. Okay, I'm going to close out this Jungle Girl fan art.
Oh my.
Which, by the way, Jen, I did a search on DeviantArt for a classy Tarot Black Rose, and that did not go well. Because I was listening to the Black Rose, and we were talking about finding like tarot but dressed classy. And I was like, maybe it actually exists somewhere, right? No, it doesn't. Not so far as I know.
I'm not surprised.
Found a lot of stuff I didn't use. Like, I don't understand why, like, okay, if you're a fan of tarot, you would draw tarot fan art. But why would you have to draw, like, sexy naked tarot fan art? That's tarot art. Like, it doesn't like you, there's nothing to ship. It's already right there. Like, what's it's kind of like, what's the point?
So there can be like no one true pairing for tarot because it's already hypersexualized.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure by the end of it she'll sleep with half the people. And no, I don't even know about that. That's not fair, because tarot,
she seems like she's
tarot's super monogamous. I feel like she would be.
Yeah,
I feel like she's
depends.
A commitment.
What would her mom say? That's the real question.
That's a good point.
If that's what she thinks before she sleeps with a guy. What would my mom say about him? It's creepy.
Wait, didn't the mom die? Oh, no, she almost died. Huh?
No, yeah. I think she did die.
No, she got better. She got better.
She did? Okay.
Yeah.
It was just like a thing where she was like, I approve.
Yes,
and then
that's
she was
right.
Like, wait, okay, I'm okay now.
I guess I'll have to go back and reread it just to make sure. Just, you know, for science, for research.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another jungled episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
And Jen.
Hey.
And I got lazy with the adjective there. This week we read Jungle Girl.
You didn't try that.
I know. I didn't. Welcome to another T-Rexy? Sexy Rexy.
No.
Didn't work either. Anyway.
Let's go back to jungled.
Yeah. Welcome to
tropical?
Another jungled episode.
Tropical.
Oh, god damn it. You should be doing the adjectives. Anyway.
You want me to do this one?
No, we're already doing it. It's done. We're going. We're
okay.
It's too late.
Fuck it. We're doing it live. This week, we read Jungle Girl, issues 0-5, written by Doug Murray and art by Frank Cho. Well, they're kind of
what's this plot by Frank? Plot and cover
and
by
art.
Frank Cho. Well,
yes.
No, it says interior art by Adriano Batista.
Oh, really?
In issue number one, it does.
Okay. Anyway, this is collect 0-5. Most of you that read this probably picked up the omnibus. You might have gotten the individuals, but there was a second season, kind of, I think is how they put it at the end of the first series. They're both in the omnibus. We just read the first one. But I want to start off by the discussion by saying, when I say the word cheesecake, this is exactly what I mean. Because tarot, I mean, we talked about tarot kind of epitomizing cheesecake, but I feel like that was too much, right? Like, that was too close to just, like, porno comics. Whereas I feel like cheesecake should be really, like, soft core. And this is just, like, tons of gratuitous boob and ass, but not, like... not grotesque boob and ass. This is just like, especially like the tongue-in-cheek jokes, you know, like there's three frames of her butt as she walks away and she says, "We need to hurry. I feel a little exposed out here." Oh, exposed. I get it. You know, things like that, that really make this feel like cheesecake for me. And just the framing of it and all that kind of stuff. This is what I mean when I say cheesecake.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. This is like on Netflix, there's a movie right now called, it's called Nude Nuns with Big Guns. Yeah. Now, I haven't watched it, but I read the reviews and, you know, the little reviews that people write on Netflix. And some people were complaining that there wasn't really any nude nuns, even though it was, like, sexy. So I kind of imagine that it's that's what that movie will be, something like this.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
See, that's interesting because I think when I think cheesecake, I feel like it should be, like, almost too much to stomach. Like, taro, to me, epitomized cheesecake, like you said. But I feel like that tackiness and the romance aspect and the, like, ridiculous art are all part of the genre. So this is actually less cheesecake in, like, my personal definition than something like taro or Witchblade.
I think after going about this whole series, I feel like Witchblade is kind of the outlier in terms of art. The art there was a lot more constrained, and it was mostly just framing and posing that made it cheesecake-y.
Well, yeah, and I think the reason why we probably put, you know, we put Witchblade into this cheesecake arc because the final product is similar to like Taro or Bomb Queen, more so than Jungle Girl, I think. But I think the reason that Witchblade is the way she is not so much it was a choice to let's make a cheesecakey comic. Like, I feel like Taro is definitely like that. there was an intention there. That the Witchblade was more of a Witchblade was more of a product of its time. Because if you think about even the big comic creators, I mean Image, it was Witchblade Image? It was, right?
Yes, it was.
So Image was like turning what the big two, DC and Marvel, did up to 11, to quote, paraphrase Spinal Tap. Because if you think about it, Marvel wasn't doing anything that dissimilar. I mean, the biggest comic of the 90s for Marvel was X-Men, and Psylocke was like that. You know, she wore no pants at all, ever, right? Yeah. Yes. And even characters like Jean Grey, who were covered from head to toe in like a orange spandex, they even ended up being posed like the way Witchblade posed. That was just the style, you know, of the 90s. And so I think Witchblade in hindsight is cheesecake, but I don't know if it was necessarily intended to be such when it was written.
Yeah,
because other Image comics, like Wildcats or something, had characters like Voodoo or Zealot who wore like armor, bulletproof vest things with a million pouches and had giant swords and guns, but they were basically wearing, from the belt down, they were just wearing like a thong, you know?
Yeah, we discussed that a bit during the Witchblade episode, but since then I've thought about it a lot more, and I think about things like Gen 13, Fairchild, Abby Chase.
Yeah.
It was all kind of that generation of Image that really felt like that. And I think you're definitely right. But I think with Jungle Girl, I think from the outset, they knew what they were making. And they were like, fuck it, let's do it. This is classic B-movie, like shitty movie theater.
Like exploitation movie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? I feel like for all of that, it's really good.
It is.
I'm going to just... The last three I've been really tepid on. Bomb Queen I enjoyed, but this I kind of unabashedly love this.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like I didn't know what to expect when we read this. What I actually thought was there's this comic that I always see at the comic book stores where it's on the shelf and. Like on the new comics shelf, and then it moves to the adult section, and it's kind of like a Jungle Girl type of thing, like they're in that kind of outfit, but the comic is always bagged already, and then there's a post-it covering certain parts of the cover. And I, for some reason, I thought that was Jungle Girl. So I thought that's what we were reading. And when I read this, and I was like, wow, this is really, this is like, you know, it's, it definitely fits the theme of our arc, but it's a pretty fun comic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it knows exactly, the creators knew exactly what they were going to do, and it fits perfectly into its genre.
Yeah. And I think it's not just the way that Jaina's drawn. Is it Jaina or Jaina?
Jaina. I say Jaina.
Jaina.
Jaina. Let's call it Jaina.
All right. Jaina Proudmoore. This is before she became a mage. I feel like the way she's drawn and all that stuff, that's definitely cheesecake. But I feel like what really makes it cheesecake is not just the tongue and cheek stuff, but like it should be just a frame of like Sebastian speaking, right? Except because they needed to get some boob in there, the background is Sebastian speaking. The foreground is a silhouette of Jaina's boob. And then it's like the voice bubble is coming in from off frame where her head would be. And it's almost like her boob is talking. Like, I feel like that's cheesecake. Like, that's to me where, I mean, all of that other stuff, sure. And then, like, the other frames where you get, like, the panorama and you can see all of the people from the airplane and they're all full figure. And then slightly more forward in the frame is Jaina, which is just, like, thigh to neck. Like, that is cheesecake. Cheesecake framing right there. That's all the parts you really wanted to see.
There's a shot. I'm like flipping through the pages again. There's a shot. I think this is issue one, and it's a shot of the pterodactyls have come to the plane crash site, and it's like a frame of a dude talking, then a frame of Jaina talking, then a frame of the flight crew and Jaina's boobs. And then there's a wide shot where they're pointing at the pterodactyls and stuff. And then right in the bottom corner, there's a little panel all by itself, and it's just her butt.
Yes, I know
they
that
They show
panel.
Her butt so much. Like, I am more familiar with her butt at this point than any other part of her.
This panel doesn't even have background. It's just her butt.
Yeah, I know. It's a red background, right?
Yeah, it's
a red background. I know that panel, sir.
And you know what though, like going back and looking through the comic, it sticks out to me, but when I was reading it, it was like, this is just the comic. See, and like even the other character, this, I don't know what her name is, the other blonde lady,
Carol,
even her, like she's wearing like a safari outfit, and
sexy safari outfit.
Yeah.
But you know what though, okay, this is where I'm going to jump in and defend Jungle Girl just because I like it. That butt frame serves a purpose.
No. I have to defend this comic
because,
for me, sir.
Because that butt frame is in the bottom right? It's the last thing you see on that page. And then that's the right-hand page. So when you turn the page, there's two more frames of her butt. But it's her butt is increasingly far away. And so it's doing that thing where... But the frame-to-frame motion carries you from page to page and shows her walking away. And then I believe after that, Sebastian says something like, no, don't leave us. I didn't mean it. Something like that kind of a thing.
But he perspective.
Says, please wait. Well, it's as if you were watching her walk away. It really pulls you into the comic, is what Andy's trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, that. I'm not saying like, oh, I know that frame, sir, because I perved out on it for like a half an hour. I'm saying I know that frame because it stuck out to me. And then I turned the page and I was like, oh. You're actually trying to do something with her butt there.
Like, I mean, it gives you something to follow, right? It's well, a signpost.
Follow her with your signpost?
Yeah, something like that.
Jesus. This is shit is going right in the gutter. I love it. But I also want to say, I mean, that's the part of her that you see the most, but I think for all of the cheesecakes that's here, she... as a character, is not cheesecake. I feel like when we talk about like a lead female cheesecake character, Jaina doesn't feel like she's that. To me, that feels like Taro, and that feels like Pizzini. Jaina almost feels like too strong of a character. She's too brave and independent and capable and handles her fucking shit.
She's like at Power Girl, at the Power Girl level of cheesecake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's... kind of a thing about the genre that I'm interested in, and it seems like, I mentioned earlier, to me, Cheesecake is like a romance novel, and part of that is the power trope, and how men and women interact within, like, a power set and a power perspective, like, what the frame is trying to show you, like, the camera lens from which you're looking, and I feel like Cheesecake puts the object of viewing in maybe like a more vulnerable position. And I think, you know, we mentioned earlier, or you guys specifically mentioned earlier, that Witchblade is a product of its time, which it very much is. But I think even more than that, like, even now we see, as you said, Power Girl, or last week we mentioned Starfire and her crazy outfit.
Yeah, with the slippers.
Yes. And the thing there is they're meant to be ogled, but I feel like the lens through which we view that is less objectifying. Like, it's less, hey, look at this, and there's a lot less of that romance power trope going on, or maybe none of it at all, in a lot of Cape comics, whereas in Tarot, you got a power dynamic. In Bomb Queen, you got a power dynamic, albeit with Bomb Queen at the top of that. And the same thing in Witchblade. And I feel like here, it's again that subversive dynamic that we saw in Bomb Queen, where Jaina is not to be objectified because she is skilled and competent. And it's hard to make Cheesecake out of something like that, because then it just becomes a character who also was gifted with, like, a really beautiful body.
Yeah, and on that same track, like, in Tarot and in Bomb Queen, there were not panels of just a person's butt. I mean, there were panels where you saw, like, the classroom and then Bomb Queen's thong sticking out of her pants, right? And there were panels where the most dominant thing in the panel in Tarot was the breastises. But, and I don't recall in either one of those, there was a panel, like, there you get almost every issue with Jungle Girl, where it's just, like, just her butt and then red background. Or just her butt and then yellow background. Where literally the only thing in the frame is Jaina's butt. So it's kind of weird how, almost like to make up for having such a strong character, the artist is maybe over-objectifying? I don't know. But how can you over-objectify in Cheesecake? Like, it's just interesting, that kind of back-and-forth dynamic between how you frame versus the strength of the character.
Yeah, it's funny, because I feel like this could have been a Cape comic with how strong Jaina is.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, okay, she's wearing, you know, less clothing and her nipples protrude more. But really, otherwise, what's the difference between her and a superheroine as we see in their current iterations? It's not that big. She takes charge. She tries to protect people. She's competent and strong, and sometimes it doesn't work out for her. Like, these are all very common things. So we have to get that defining factor that says, hey, this is for adults, this is Cheesecake, this is meant to tantalize and titillate. Mm. I said titillate. but I think that's what that's all about, saying like, oh, by the way, don't forget, there's butts here.
Yeah, and I think, I was going to save this for a little bit later, but I think what makes it, when this kind of framing and stuff crosses into mainstream comics is when we have a problem. Right? Because when you pick this up, you know what you're getting into. But if you pick up Batman and you get the same butt frame, but with Catwoman, that causes outroar. But in here, it's in Jungle Queen, of course. Who cares? So I feel like it's worth having that discussion with Jungle Queen or with Jungle Girl, because I agree with both of you. I mean, I don't feel like she's any less strong of a character than Power Girl, and I feel like Power Girl is, in mainstream comics, one of the most sexualized capes. But you still don't get those frames with Power Girl. Like, still, DC and Marvel with its sexualized characters, they don't put in those frames with those characters. And I think it's when it sneaks in that people complain about Cheesecake. Because when you pick up this book, you know what you're getting into. But if you pick up, I don't know, I guess it's the whole argument of if a 12-year-old picks it up, or like if a 10-year-old picks it up, and a 10-year-old girl sees this, I think that's the argument that makes people upset. Is that what it is?
I think so. I mean, in the case of Starfire, it was sexualizing a character that had become popular with young children, something that young kids would gravitate to.
Yeah, from the Teen Titans cartoon.
Well, even before in the comics, she wasn't wearing the slap bracelets. That was a New 52. True. That's a New 52 thing. And that in particular caused the uproar. Or Catwoman, from New 52. You remember, basically she I don't remember which issue it was. One of the early issues where she's like falling out of cat suit right on the cover. And then she tries to have sex with Batman, or she does have sex with Batman in the issue.
Yes.
And the problem there that I think people have is that, again, Catwoman is a character that is, certainly she's sexualized, but it was always kind of an implied thing. And all of a sudden it was front and center in the comic.
Yeah, I think like in that example, what people would have liked it is the PG movie network television. They're making out, they fall onto the bed, and then the camera pans to gently wafting curtains kind of a thing. But it was much more explicit than that in that issue of Batman. But I feel like that wouldn't fly in Jungle Girl either.
Like, well, that's the thing. Like, this has been, ever since we started talking about this comic for this episode, the thing that kept coming in my head is it's like, this comic is sexy, but it's not about sex.
Yes.
And I think that the Frank Cho and all the creators involved in this comic do a very good job of not crossing that line.
And I think what sticks out in my mind the most when you say that is when the woman from the plane crew tries to hit on Tog.
Yeah, that part was really funny.
That was fucking hilarious. And then when she dies, Tog's like, maybe I should have mated with her just so she could have died happy. Right? And I feel like that's almost kind of commentary on what they're trying to do here, but in a really funny kind of way. But that scene really puts it forward. This comic is not about sex. Jaina is sexy. Carol is sexy. But that's not what this comic is about. It's just about this sexy chick doing really fucking badass things. And you kind of have to just enjoy the cheesecake and roll with it, but not necessarily make it the emphasis of your reading experience.
Yeah, and I mean, I also want to go into like one more thing about that scene, and it's that there's a really different power dynamic, because he's like, the first thing that we hear about Tog when Jaina meets him is that, like, he's too young or, like, adolescent to do a walkabout. Yeah. And, you know, oh, he's not a real man, he's still a boy. So then when Carol says, oh, you're so manly, let me show you, he's like, you think I'm a real man? And it's that she's proffering this to get power over him, but at the same time, he's not, like, that power dynamic's missing, because he's kind of like, whoa, she thinks I'm a grown-up. And it just kind of changes it from being, like, creepy, she's using her body to get what she wants, to being funnier, I think. I don't know. Like, I think that Frank Cho, as you said, really does carefully keep it from being weird. You know, there's never anything where you feel like anyone is compromised in this comic for any reason. And I like that. Like, because that's the thing that weirds me out about Cheesecake, when you have weird power balances, whether it's like the, like in Bomb Queen, the men were so disenfranchised, it was creepy and weird. And then in Witchblade, Pez was so disenfranchised in that it was like really disturbing.
Oh God, the she wants to be abused thing in Witchblade. Oh Jesus.
Yeah,
she has like this all powerful alien weapon, and she's worried about what this one handed guy thinks. It's like, and she allows herself to be manipulated by him.
Yeah.
So yeah, yes, I agree. Sorry.
And it's then just... Crypt Chick. Oh my God, Crypt Chick.
Oh man, yeah. But she was just, I don't know, angry emo.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Jaina wouldn't, none of that would matter for her. And I think it's important too that she's not just written that way, she's also drawn that way. I think the artist, Adriano Batista, because it's not referring to it, the artist Adriano Batista goes out of his way to draw Jaina, like, yes, sexy, but also more athletic and muscular in a way that you would almost believe would get by in this world. Like, in the kind of just fit-cut kind of way, her arms always have definition. And more often than not, her abs get a little bit of definition, too. In a way that makes sense for a person who's out hunting all day. And I kind of appreciated that. That little bit of extra effort. And I feel like when it wasn't there, it was mostly just from laziness. More than from, hey, sexy chick.
So my first reaction on opening this comic, when she's like trying to lure the fish into her trap to eat it, I guess it's not a fish, it's like a big water-based thing.
It's a fucking dinosaur. I
was just like, oh my God, she's beautiful. I was really surprised by that because the title's Jungle Girl. We know it's going to be campy B-movie. I was expecting grotesque. Like... Mm. There were parts of Taro where I was like, she is shaped grotesque. and I mean, grotesque means, like, malformed. She's not shaped like a normal human. Yeah. Jungle Girl, I believe, if I were watching the Olympics and I saw someone who looked like Jungle Girl, I'd be like, yes, athlete. And I wouldn't ever think that she looked unnatural or strange. And that's, like, the cool thing. She's not... weird in any way. She looks like a normal human might if they spent all their time running around doing stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess... Okay. Oh, I was just gonna say, it's something that even in normal comics, I've come to not expect. So when I see someone who looks like at all, like they could be an actual human, it's really surprising and also pleasing.
Pleasing. I think the most... I think the most important thing for portraying Jaina as a developed character, as an actual person, and not just an object of a gaze, like not just an object of the male gaze or the gaze of the reader, is that from... issue 0 to issue 5, her face is clearly defined and consistently drawn, and she is drawn differently than Carol, and it's the same as what's on the cover. And not only that, but the emotion is drawn really well too when there's close-ups of her face, like when she gets angry and when she gets fierce and when she laughs. Like I think one of the biggest problems with a lot of cheesecake, especially in mainstream comics, is when the artists are first forced to churn things out really quickly and they're told to make it sexy, that's when you get the every face looks the same.
Well, you know, now that you mention it, like thinking back to whatchamacallit, Bomb Queen, I noticed that there is a lot of inconsistency in her face, like mm-hmm. from page to page. The interior artist did not do a good job of keeping a consistent look to her. Now, maybe that was laziness on the part of the artist, but it is something that I noticed a couple times, and I didn't mention it when we recorded the episode, but now that we're talking about that, it is something that I thought was worth mentioning.
Yeah, and I think all these things about how she's drawn and portrayed aren't just important in setting her apart from Cheesecake visually, but I also think story-wise, because they're visual clues that she does not belong in the world in which she's portrayed. They're the only visual clues that we really get about the fact that she's not supposed to be here. She's from somewhere else. There is a backstory. You're not going to get it yet. Right? Like, she is the only person we see that has blonde hair and blue eyes. Everybody else is dark brown or black hair and brown eyes. Everybody else she comes across on this island. She clearly is not from here. And I think doing that gives her a developed character that would take more than a page to explain. Like, Taro gets explained in a page. You know? And she might have a backstory, but really her backstory with her sister was explained in a page. Just one. And I feel like Jaina would need a little bit more than that. And I think that's what helps set her apart.
True, but on the other hand, I mean, she wouldn't need to be sexualized for that, right?
Yeah.
She... Although she is like the only person on the island who doesn't look like a Neanderthal.
Yeah. So. Oh God. The fucking, the, what was the guy's name? The Spirit Walker or the Dream Walker?
Oh, nasty guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I really was not expecting that in Cheesecake Comic. But when that guy shows up and he's like sitting in his own feces, I got that same kind of like, whoa, this doesn't fit in my mind frame as I did when we were reading Taro and she stabbed, and Ravenhex stabbed the guy with her boob spikes. Because we got to that page in Taro and I was like, oh, this is way too fucking violent right now for what I'm reading. And then here I'm like, what is this guy sitting in a pile of his own feces? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's not what one would consider sexy.
No, not in the not in the least. And then when Carol gets bitten in half too, that was fucking satisfying as hell.
She was a bitch. She had issues. And okay, while we're like in the issue of things that do not compute, how did the big man eat so much pure heroin? How?
Well, I mean, I think he'd been doing other drugs for a while, like other jungle drugs.
Yeah.
Because he was like, ooh, the brown medicine.
Yeah.
I don't really have any more tolerance.
Like a resistance.
I'm guessing he had some kind of tolerance built up over time from all the jungle juice.
He's experienced.
But okay, this is worth bringing up too, then. I feel like part of the thing that makes a comic Cheesecake is that it has one character. Well, it has two characters, and they're the breasts. And I guess Jaina has three characters, breasts and a butt.
Was that four, though?
Yeah, we can split it up into cheeks. But Jungle Girl, do the crew, does the plane crew matter at all? How engaging did you guys find the actual story of this comic?
I remembered their names. That surprised me. When like him. The guy with the camera was Mike, I think.
I thought he was TJ.
Who's TJ?
There's
no TJ.
I don't
remember there being a TJ.
There's a TJ.
Or was there? Okay, so the big guy was TJ. The pilot is Sky. There's Sebastian, the old man. Carol, the bitchy woman. And Mike, the cameraman.
And that was all of them, right?
I think.
Yes, it was all of them.
Well, there's Tog also, but he's not part of the plane crew.
Yeah. No. I feel like Tog is the second most developed character we get.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tog is a... He seems important.
And you know, I'll say this. I thought I was getting interested in the crew's plot. Like, for a little while, I thought I was. And then I realized that I actually didn't care when the camera guy went, surprise, I'm a DEA agent. And I'm like, that came out of fucking nowhere.
Well, yeah, me, I was like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. That's my reaction.
And the fact that he's a DEA agent is completely irrelevant because all the criminals are dead.
Yeah, it's one of those things that makes you go like, oh, I guess, all right, fuck it, why not? And because it's not a reveal, because you don't care, that's when you realize you don't care about any of them. Because I feel like that's something that should be like, oh, suck on that, Carol. Like that's the thing that should be like, oh, damn, all along he's been all this. Oh. But no, I don't give a shit at all.
You know, actually, there's one interesting... One of the guys, I think it's the pilot. The guy who threw the bomb the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that the pilot? So in the issue when they go back to the plane, I guess it's the end of issue 2, where they go back and get the heroin and then the dirt people. the dirt people appear. So the very last panel of issue two is the plane crew surrounded by the dirt people. Okay.
Yeah.
They're all alive, pointing their guns at everybody else. When you go to issue three, in the very first panel, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I was like, wait, where the fuck did that happen?
That didn't happen. It's
a page. I was like, what?
That didn't even happen off panel. That happened off comic.
Yeah.
He was just that irrelevant.
I like flipped back. Well, because I got like two or three pages into it, and there's another shot of him with the spear sticking out of his chest. And I was like, when did that happen?
Yeah. So wait, was he the one that blew up the plane?
Yeah.
He might have been, yeah.
He's the one who started the fire?
He said something like it was supposed to have burned up or something like that.
Ah, yeah, that's right, yes. But then, wait, all of his stuff was still on the plane. Why would he want it to burn down?
So they couldn't catch him. Although, it seems like, at that point, why do you even care? You have way bigger problems.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about the DEA reveal that I didn't like. Like, it was neat that they decided to make him have some sort of story. But then it was kind of like, why are you telling people this now? This is not the appropriate time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the same as David. Like, that's great, but everybody's already dead. All the criminals are fucking dead, and Carol's an idiot, and she's like... At this point, it doesn't even matter. You should have mentioned something earlier.
Well, and Amir, and a few panels away, she gets eaten. So yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you did care when he said it, you won't care in three more pages.
Yeah.
I guess it's to set him up to us as not being a bad guy.
Yeah, because I guess at that point, everybody else on the crew is kind of...
Well, not Sebastian.
But then he died, so no one cared.
Yeah, but Sebastian started off kind of as, I'm the guy in charge. Don't you know I'm a TV producer kind of...
But then when he realized, he quickly realized that he should listen to Jaina. And he went along, and he was happy to help her out and follow her lead. Because he knew that he had confidence in her that she would get him out of the situation.
Yeah, if
he didn't look into the hole, the monster wouldn't have eaten him.
Which was not really his fault. I mean, who expects that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the little tiny fucking worms. And they're like, oh, it's little worms everywhere.
And he was trying to protect Carol and say, hey, don't touch this, don't touch that. Listen to Jaina. You know? Yeah. So I think he, you know, if I'm going to be sad about anyone, I guess maybe it's him.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about Tog? Did you guys care about Tog at all? I kind of did care about him.
Yeah, for sure. He's Jaina's best friend.
Yeah.
I feel like he has... Well, he was the narrator for some of it.
Yeah, you got his internal monologue.
So that was my question. I mean, I know they're BFFs and all, but what makes him so important that he gets a narrator box?
Like, well, I think it...
I guess you have to keep reading.
Yeah, well, I feel like, so, the initial narrator is, so in issue zero, I think the narrator is Jaina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then in issue one, we get a different narrator also, and I think it's one of the plane crew.
Was it? I took it as, like, third-person omniscient.
Yeah. I would have to go back.
Yeah, maybe. I think you're right. I guess it is third-person. But... So that narrator, the third person omniscient narrator, is like a he is like us, the reader.
Yeah.
From our perspective, but Tog gives the perspective of somebody who lives in this world. You know, he's as confused by these people, or even more confused. He's more confused than she is, because she's not completely. You know, she seems more at ease with them. And then I think Tog is at ease with the plane crew because Jaina is.
Yeah, he kind of follows her lead.
So I think he gives a perspective from a native's side, but also from Jaina's side. Because if he wasn't in the comic, we would have to assume, I think it would kind of force the reader to assume that all the natives are like the dirt people.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. That's a good point.
So he gives us a, the world is more complicated than...
than blonde hair, blue eye versus dirt people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's the value he adds to the comic.
He also adds a lot of value in the comic in defining Jaina's character, because once the crew shows up, Jaina is completely occupied in the course of the pages in protecting them and leading them away. Right? Mm-hmm. She's almost completely occupied with that. So you need Tog to come in and talk about Jaina so that you can get some character development for Jaina. Because otherwise, Jaina's just in there fucking fighting a bear, and then she comes out with the head of a bear, right?
Right.
And you don't get the kind of, I'm really confident in her, she's handled worse than this, she knows how to handle the dirt people, you know? Like, Tog says all that, so you kind of get more information about Jaina through him that you wouldn't be able to get if you didn't get his internal monologue. So he's important not just in and of himself, but also for her and helping develop her as a character. Bam! Drop the mic. Walk away.
No. I think as a team we figured out what Tog's role is, and he is important. And I think what's cool too is he gives another character that is not a throwaway. Like, I feel like Mike could disappear. He could just never. We could just, the end of issue 5 could be the last we see of him, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Tog gives you another person to follow. I mean, they make it a point to mention how he's not a man yet, and because the medicine father hasn't told him he's a man, and so there is development that's going to happen for him that
mm-hmm.
that potentially will be some sort of payoff for us as a reader, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, talking about how things, like, pan out and the stories that are set up for everyone, can we just take a moment to talk about the end of issue 5?
Space shuttle?
Fucking yeah. Space shuttle.
What?
And it's like, it's the middle of the day, right? What I love about that panel was the art. It's the middle of the day, but so that you know it's a space shuttle, there's just, like, a swath of space drawn onto the sky.
Well, I think that's supposed to show us that it's like some kind of rift.
That's what I was thinking. Is it like a dimensional kind of thing? Is this island like Bermuda Triangle kind of shit, maybe?
Maybe it's the island from Lost.
You know, I thought about that when the plane crashed.
It's Space Shuttle ST-815.
Is that the flight number?
Well, that's the flight from Lost, but then yeah. Space shuttles all have ST dash something.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, guys. Don't you know you're NASA?
A little bit, but not that much, apparently.
Not enough.
I'm kidding.
It's a story about.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
But you know what I will say? It's out of fucking nowhere, but it really made me want to keep reading. Because I'm like, because so, at that point, I thought it couldn't get any better. And then fucking space shuttle. Just completely random. Here, deal with this.
Oh, man, I feel really dumb. I should have said STS-815.
Yeah, that's right. Now, see, now I get it. Before I didn't because you had it wrong.
Right.
Full disclosure, I was like, pretty drunk by the time I got to the end. I was just like, I sat there going like, what? For 5 minutes. And maybe, you know, I'm still going, what? I don't know what the hell happened there.
I really do think it is. Because by that point in the comic, I had bought in and believed that this was a great comic. Because there are fucking dinosaurs. There are monsters. There's a cat fight. And I was like, this can't go anywhere. This can't possibly get better. And then, fuck, here's a space shuttle. Deal with it. Cool.
Then you were wrong.
Then I was wrong, because then there was a fucking space shuttle.
So, do you think Jaina's a space people? And that's, like, her origin?
Yeah, I think like her and her dad landed and her dad died.
I don't know. I get the feeling that she grew up there.
She said some, or the spirit man said something about like her father's father, like living there, and then the spirits drove them away. But then the spirits were bears, and I don't know.
Yeah, what happened? I thought Tog said something about them growing up together.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think. I don't think Jen herself or Jaina necessarily herself is from a different, dimension or wherever, not island is. I feel like maybe her father, or like her mother or something was from not there. I don't know. I'm full disclosure. I'm going to read this tomorrow. I'm going to read the second half of it.
Well, yeah, me too. I'm going to do that immediately.
I'm really excited to finish this. So, okay, if this is Cheesecake, we've mentioned stuff about framing and stuff. Do you guys want to talk about the art?
I don't know. I think we've talked about the art quite a bit.
I mean, just like the overall quality of the art. I feel like this was the best art that we've seen in this Cheesecake series. Not just in how Jaina's drawn, but just like the dinosaurs, the jungle, the atmosphere, it all like, it's all drawn really well.
Yeah, overall quality is excellent. I think this is really well drawn.
Yes.
Not good.
It's framed with humor, too. I mean, that's okay, aside from, like, the one place where we all said, how did that guy die with the spear? Everything else, I had no complaints. So, also, can we talk about our favorite pages? Because I want to talk about mine.
Yes, that's and what I was going to,
It's the one where she walks out of the fucking cave with the bear head in hand and she's like, I got your spirits here, bitches. Not an actual quote, but oh man, that was just... I feel like that summed up the spirit of this comic.
Right, and then, she basically does say that. She tosses the bear's head, like, at the feet of the tribe. Like, here, suck on this. Like, you threw me in there thinking I would get murdered. Take this. I fucking killed this giant-ass bear that you thought was big badass.
And then somebody asks her, like, how did you kill the bear? And she's like, with my hands, duh.
Just ripped its head off, whatever.
Yeah, I had a similar favorite series. It's when she comes riding out of the flames on a fucking woolly mammoth.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
It's so over the top, but so fucking perfect. And it's great because it's a callback, because you remember the woolly mammoth from earlier.
Yes.
What about you, David?
I don't know. I didn't pick a favorite frame. I'm like kind of flipping through. The one where she cuts the guy's at the top of his head off is kind of neat.
Oh, when she kills the dream walker or whatever it was?
Yeah, I mean, it's well detailed.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just another place where it showcases her badassdom.
Yeah. That's true.
But, I mean, overall, the art is excellent. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to, like, just pick a favorite right off the top of my head on the spot. Because, I mean, you guys picked some good ones. There's a lot of excellent places. The part where Carol gets eaten is pretty cool.
Yeah. My other favorite frame, my second, is when Carol and Jaina are about to fight, and it's the full page of them like getting ready to throw down.
Yeah, they're like squaring off. That's a cool one.
And you get Jaina's face, and she's like, "I'm gonna fucking murder the shit out of you."
It's like a hockey fight.
Her face is like, "I'm gonna fuck you up so bad, you're gonna get so messed up."
Oh my god, that is so not what I think of when I think of a hockey fight.
That's what I'm gonna think of now. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
I approve.
So, okay, let's wrap up our discussion on Cheesecake. So the first part of the wrap-up is we've been asking this for every previous one in the Cheesecake series. Is this any better for it, for being Cheesecake? Does it add or detract? Like, would this be better if she were wearing more clothes?
I don't know. I mean, I get the feeling that she's not wearing clothes that are any different from what other women would be wearing in such an environment. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't feel like she's wearing that kind of stuff to be to be sexy. Like, where Taro, I think, is, and definitely Bomb Queen is.
Yes.
Witchblade, I mean, Pizzini, her clothes get ripped a lot. I don't know if it's 100% her. Do you know what I mean? I don't.
Yeah.
I think it. So, to answer your question, would it detract if she was wearing more clothes? I think yes, it would, because that's kind of the point of this comic. But it's also kind of functional. I don't know what I'm trying to say. My answer is yes to your question.
This is better as cheesecake.
Yes. Because it is cheesecake. I mean, I feel like that's the point of this comic. And it knows what it is, and it doesn't try to be anything else. Like, we had a big discussion when we talked about Bomb Queen about satire.
Yeah, there's no satire here. They don't get...
Bomb Queen could wear more clothes and still be satire.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
What about
Witchblade could be witchy with more clothes on.
without all of the torn t-shirts.
I mean, what's her name? The her sister? Why does her... She has, like, the evil witch. Her top is, like, a bunch of string connected to, like, what would be, like, a pasty. But then the pasty has, a long spike sticking out of it. Why? Because it's witch's armor? I think that's what they called it, right?
Yes.
Witch's armor?
Wouldn't you stab someone with your boob if you could? Right?
Yeah, but like, you could stab somebody with something else. I mean, you could put a blade in. You could hold the blade in your hand. It'd be a lot easier to stab someone if it was in your hand.
But there's less novelty with your hand than with your boob.
Somehow I don't think that evil witch was going for novelty.
No, I don't think so either.
I agree with that statement, Jen.
I know. Your laughter got me laughing on this one, too. Oh, God.
So, to go back to your question, Andy, would this take away from it if she was wearing normal clothes? Yes, it would.
Yeah. What about you, Jen? What do you think about this as cheesecake and if it's the better or the worse for it?
I think that it's more humorous as cheesecake and therefore better, but I also feel like she did not need two clothing changes throughout this. She could have just gone with the first one.
Well, yeah, that. I agree
but
with that.
I mean, like, I don't mind her weird jungle bikini. Sure, why not? Like, as you guys said, Bomb Queen, she could have had more clothes because it still would have been satire. As for Taro, I think that without the sexual content, it would have just been a bad comic. So with the state of the art and the editing, it needed to be cheesecake to be in any way successful.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Witchblade should not have been cheesecake because it was offensive to me. Like, that's just flat out my problem with it. I found it so bad and so offensive, and if it hadn't been trying to be sexual in any way, I might have been a little happier with it. But this was good. I enjoyed this, and I thought that it was a fun way to add in, like, the cheesecake element to a comic without going so much over the top or being strange or offensive like Witchblade. I think this pulled it off really well.
Yeah. And I feel like it's almost not a fair question to say, is this better or worse for it? Because it's kind of inseparable in the way that David was like, why would she even wear, like, not even from a character perspective, why would she wear more clothes? She's a jungle person. She lives in the jungle. There's no sense of modesty. It's just because if those happen to drag across something like stone or get whatever, like, they're sensitive parts of your body, so you cover them for extra protection.
You don't want, like, chafing or anything.
Right, exactly. Like, but at the same time, I do agree with Jen. I don't know why we needed three different sets of clothes. The first change kind of made sense to me. She was like, I was trying this because it felt more comfortable, but now that I'm running all over the place, you know, maybe the leathers will work better.
She did explain it, Jen.
Like, that one I kind of understood.
Each time she said why, it was just like...
It's like Iron Man's armor. He's got armor for all kinds of situations. Batman, too. What I'm trying to say here is Jaina is just like Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark, except in the jungle.
She's Jungle Batman?
Exactly.
Oh my god, does this actually just
like
feed
a utility
into Batman
bikini.
Incorporated?
Utility bikini. Bikini Mark 17.
This is a tie-in to Batman Incorporated, and she's Jungle Batman, right?
Oh yeah.
Yep, yep. You know she's it. Batman okay. of the space jungle space shuttle island.
I approve then. This is good.
Just wait, she's going to appear in a Grant Morrison comic soon.
Oh god, that would be no. No,
fingers
please,
crossed.
No.
No, not, I do. I want it. I want
no,
that to happen.
No Morrison, this. Okay. No. No Morrison for this because I like this. And I have come to the realization over the course of doing this podcast that I do not like Grant Morrison. Much as I used to think I do, I in fact do not.
You know what this fucking comic is? This is an episode of Doctor Who with more boobs. Like,
which in my mind just means even better.
Gorilla men and spaceships and dinosaurs and jungle girl and heroine. Okay, maybe not the heroine, but this is an episode of Doctor Who that we've just read.
Well, it was a great episode.
Yeah, it was. But I feel like it's not even fair to ask to pose the question. They're inseparable. I mean, this is cheesecake and cheesecake is this. I feel like this is, like I said at the very beginning of the show, this is when I think of that word, this is exactly what I'm thinking of, is this kind of comic.
You know, I agree with you, and I'm glad that we read this one last. Because yeah. We get to end on a high note.
Yes.
Not that the other comics were low notes. Okay, well, maybe the first two were. The Bomb Queen wasn't bad, it just
Arrow
wasn't cheesecake.
Arrow 2 was not a low note, come on.
Okay. Her boobs were panel, very high panel,
yeah, but there's... Okay, I will never forget that panel where the artist is covering up her nipples with a waterfall. That's just art.
Or where there's just some magical non-melting snow covering her nipples.
Yeah. Wait, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to write that in a note. See if I can buy original tarot art for David as a gift.
Thanks.
There we go. You're welcome. I'm going to see if I can track down the original artist.
As part of that gift, can you talk my wife into allowing me to put it up in the house somewhere?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Thank you.
So, just want to point out, that belongs in your bathroom, because is bathroom art. Also, it's
yeah,
not
it is.
Non-melting snow, it's non-frostbite causing snow.
Yes.
Because...
Well, those nipples have to give off some heat. I mean,
it's magic witch snow during the moon night.
I've never been there, but I can't imagine frostbitten nipples would be fun in any way. Ouch! Right? That's not good. That's bad. It's bad stuff.
Yes.
So, speaking of good stuff, I feel like this is the important part of our discussion for Cheesecake, wrapping up the series. Who draws the best women? Because supposedly now we've read a couple of them. That was kind of the point of this, is to read Terra bad, Terra good comics. So we got Michael Turner, who is considered a legend in the field of drawing women in comics. Then we got Jim Balin, who I've never heard of before, but really likes to draw massive breastises. Then we got Jimmy Robinson, who did Bomb Queen, who just doesn't mind whipping them out whenevs. Frank Cho did the covers for this, which are amazing, by the way. And then Adriano Batista did the interiors, which I also think are amazing. But we didn't read, like, anything by Adam Hughes, who is, like, renowned for the way he draws women. Stefan Ruh, who is really good. Amanda Connor, who we all know and love. And Terry Dodson. Are you guys familiar with Terry Dodson at all?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terry Dodson and his wife, Rachel. Do you guys have an opinion on this?
I don't know. I mean, I got to give it up to Frank and Adriano. I would high five those guys if I saw them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if I was a dude and I saw Jungle Girl, I'd hit it. I can't say that about Taro.
Yeah, I mean, Taro, you gotta. Yeah.
Terry Dodson does some excellent work too, though. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but he does some great. He does some great Emma Frost.
I feel like at
Wonder
Adam,
Woman. I mean, look at the Captain Marvel covers that Terry Dodson did. I mean, there's I forget which issue of Cap. I guess it's like 4 or 5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's Carol Danvers in her Captain Marvel costume, so she's covered up. You know, it's not the sash and the one piece bathing suit thing.
Yeah.
But she looks great. I mean, she looks like a badass.
Yeah, and I think that's where I find the definition between Terry Dodson and Adam Hughes. Adam Hughes's angles are usually way more objective, or like they do a lot more objectification than Terry and Rachel Dodson do. Like, the women that Terry and Rachel draw just happen to be sexy because they're comic book characters, but Adam Hughes, like, goes out of his way to say, try looking at them from this angle, guys. And it's kind of a little creepy sometimes. But in terms of what we've read, and even those other people, I think Adriana Batisto is right up there in my mind with Amanda Connor now, mostly because of their ability to draw really, really pissed off women. Because there's panels of Amanda Connor, like, of Amanda Connor's Power Girl when she's angry, that's like, oh, fuck, that's a really well-drawn face. I'm legitimately scared of this fictional person.
Yeah, and I just want to put in, too, like, yes, Jungle Girl is attractive, but she's also drawn in such a way where you get this idea that she's a sexualized character, but she's not, like, a sexual object. She looks strong, and yeah. She's always drawn in action where it's not completely ridiculous, like the poses she's striking in mid-action. Yes.
Yeah.
So it seems like she's someone who actually does things and doesn't just exist and act for the sake of the viewer. And I like that in the art. But yeah, I don't know. I would say if I had to pick between, like, everyone we're talking about, Adam Hughes has a lot of respect from me. So.
All right.
Well, I think they're all I mean, the artists you've written are the ones that we talked about in any length. I mean, Adam Hughes, and Terry Dodson, and Frank Cho, and Adriano Batista. They're all excellent artists in general. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the Adam Hughes Star Wars stuff that I've seen. I mean, his cover work for Star Wars Legacy was awesome.
That's true.
And I mean, there's even sexy ladies in there, like Darth Talon.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
I almost forgot about that. I almost forgot.
I mean, at any rate, we can all agree. Andy, don't you have the picture? Is it you who has the poster of the DC women in, like, the... They're all wearing white
dresses. Oh, I don't have that poster, but I know that image.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an Adam Hughes piece. That's excellent, and it's very well known.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you have to give credit to all of these guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And ladies. I mean, Rachel Dodson, too.
Maybe I'll spend some time on and Amanda Connor. Maybe we'll spend some time on Tumblr posting some semi-risque, mostly
safe. Well, I mean, even the one, the picture I was thinking of, the Adam Hughes one with all the women from DC wearing white, it's kind of like Jungle Girl, where it's sexy women drawn in a sexy way, but it's not about sex. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's there's a term called gentleman boner, and it is that.
Yeah. I've never heard that term before, but I can buy into that.
It's like when a person gets really turned on by, like...
I've never heard the term gentleman boner.
It's like if you would prefer to look at pictures of somebody, like the way they get dressed up for, like, the red carpet and, like, the beautiful gowns and everything, like, mm-hmm. or, like, evening attire. If you find that more attractive than, like, just, like, gonzo porn kind of stuff. That's the term for that.
Cool.
The more you know. See, you guys need to hang out on Urban Dictionary more, you know? Really.
No, I don't.
No. I've been there before. I'm good.
So let's get down and rate this then. What do you Jen, you go first. What do you give Jungle Girl?
I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I am tempted to continue reading the rest of the omnibus, and I thought it was a lot of fun, especially by the end when I was just like, what the hell is happening here? That was pretty amazing, and it was not a twist I expected. I honestly, the title Jungle Girl made me think we were going to have something akin to Tarot, except in a more, like, tropical setting. And this was a lot better than that without being, like, you know, satirical, like Bomb Queen. And I didn't really know that Cheesecake could do that. So this showed me something new. So yeah, 3.5.
All right. David, how about you?
I'm going to give this a 4. I really enjoyed this comic. I didn't have, like, any expectations whatsoever, like, lower than possible, because I didn't... like Jen, I thought we were going to read something akin to Tarot, as opposed to something like Bomb Queen, which I guess... which kind of had a message, right?
Yeah.
But this, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. It is an excellent comic. You know, it's not, like, up there with something like, you know, Underwater Welder or Persepolis, where it's like literature of the genre, of the medium, right?
Yeah.
But it's a good comic, and it knows what it is, and it doesn't deviate from its intended purpose. And that's to be cheesecakey. It certainly is. But it also has a pretty good story, you know? Like, I want to read the rest of it. I mean, that space shuttle falling out of the sky is a great cliffhanger.
Yes.
So, you know, I feel like this is a... as far as all the stuff we read in this series, this is easily the best of the four. And it's not just because it is the best Cheesecake, but it's the best comic out of all of them,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, as a comic, you know. So I think giving it a 4 is what it deserves. It's a good comic. So if somebody was like, "Hey, David, what do you think of Jungle Girl?" I'd be like, "That's a good comic. You should give it you should check it out. You'll be pleasantly surprised." So
yeah, I was going to give it a 4, and then you said that thing about you should give it a try, you'd be pleasantly surprised. I feel like that's going to make me give this a 4.5.
Cool.
Because this, I mean, I'm probably overrating it, but I really did have a surprisingly fun time reading this, and not in the, you know, fun time kind of way. But, like, it's got fucking monsters and dinosaurs and fucking sexy chicks. You know, but, like, there's intrigue, there's a story, and it's not... all continuously nothing but sexy women running around. You get the disgusting scene with the Dreamwalker. You get the interesting intertribal stuff in there. I feel like maybe the crew of the airplane is kind of throwaway, but I am kind of interested about the politics of the island, about mm-hmm. the rock people versus the dirt people. You know, I'm legitimately finding that interesting, and I want to keep reading it. And I feel like that's way more than I was expecting. This might also be because the last 3 weeks we've just read, by comparison, utter crap. No, that's unfair. Bomb Queen wasn't bad. Bomb Queen wasn't bad at all. And what was the other one? Tarot, issue 5 of Tarot is quite a laugh. But this I was really surprised how much I enjoyed this from the beginning to the end. And I'm going to finish the second half of the omnibus tomorrow at work on lunch. So yeah, 4.5. And the art was just beautiful. Not just Jungle Girl. I feel like everything was just drawn awesome. The dinosaurs are great. There's tons of detail in the jungle. I love the way the faces are drawn for everybody. Everybody has a distinct look. It's great. I just really enjoyed the shit out of reading this. And I think that's what makes it a really good transition, because our next series, we're going to read a lot of really, really good comics. Because it's the beginning of a new year, which means it's time for our best of the previous year. So we're going to start our best of 2013 series. We picked 4 that some of us has read and some of us has not. But generally what I do is I go online and I go to a bunch of comic book websites and I find their best of 2013 lists. And I just kind of pick and pull whatever kind of shows up more often or whatever I think looks most interesting. So next week we're going to start out with East of West, The Promise. Written by Jonathan Hickman. It collects issues 1-5 of East of West. After that, we're going to read Superior Spider-Man, My Own Worst Enemy, written by Dan Slott, number 1-5. This is the one that got a lot of hullabaloo when it first came out, and I'm really interested to see what it actually was like to read. And then we're going to read Lose, number 5, which is a graphic novel by Michael DeForge. And we're going to wrap it up with The Private Eye by Brian K. Vaughan, which is doing the online pay-what-you-want sort of sort of
distribution method.
Distribution. That's the fucking word I could not find. Thank you. So for that one, go to panelsyndicate.com. Pay a buck, pay $5, pay $10, whatever you think you want to pay for a good comic book. So that's what we're going to do next. We have the next two series after that planned out. If you want to know what we've got coming up after the best of 2013, or if you want links on where to buy all the stuff we just mentioned, go to www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. If you think that we did not pick the best of 2013, let us know, because we might be doing a remainder of the best of 2013 coming up, because there were a whole lot of stuff on the list that we did not get to put in. So send us an email and let us know at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
And as always, please follow us at facebook.com/apsupercast, twitter.com/apsupercast, or apsupercast.tumblr.com. And this will be a good week to follow us, because I'm going to be posting all the stuff from the Cheesecakey artists. So if you're or if you like looking at sexy women, we're going to probably lose all of our female followers this week.
Nah.
No, maybe not. I will be as tasteful as possible.
It's on theme.
That's true.
We have a purpose here.
So that's what's coming up on Tumblr. For any episode after this, if you want to make sure you get it on your iPod or whatever device, make sure you subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.